Hey guys, I know you like the Boop Show, and I know that you're always looking for ways to help it out and keep it on the air. Guess what? There's a really easy way to do that. Are you familiar with Patreon? It's all the rage. Why? Because it gives creators a chance to build something that users can easily access and support what they make. If you like Boop Show and other shows on the network, do me a favor. Hop on over to patreon.com/frogpants and give just a little bit. $1 a month would be amazing. That's at patreon.com/frogpants. This is the Boop Show for February 23rd, 2015. Some gaming news you can use. I'm Scott Johnson. Hand of Fate. Remember that last week I asked you if anybody had played Hand of Fate and to let me know if it was any good? And some of you wrote in and said, yeah, it's good, or you're on Twitter or whatever. People were talking about Hand of Fate with some positive sounds in their voices, some positive inflection on their words. And while that was entirely exciting to me in that regard alone, I decided to give it a shot myself. Why rely on the word of others only when trying to pick a new game to play? So I nabbed it because it was on sale. $19, I think, on Steam. I'm told this is coming to Xbox and PlayStation, is it? Maybe it's already there. I meant to check. I didn't check. I should have checked. But anyway, I got it on the PC, and yeah, I'm here to tell you right now, I'm going to make the bold statement early in 2015, because we're still tail end of February. I would say that's, you know, that's early year. But as it stands right now, without anybody else popping their head up to challenge me, it's my game of 2015. Now, I'm aware and realize that something may come along, very likely, that will steal its thunder or edge it out or whatever. But come end of year, it will still be on my top five. There's no question in my mind. If you could take a text adventure, an RPG, a third-person, like, Batman Arkham-style fighting game, a collectible card game, a deck-building game, a random number generator kind of D&D dice roll kind of mechanic, a really cool story, amazing narrator, take all these things, mush them up, and you might say, well, that sounds like all stuff I've done or played or had before, Scott. Well, you'd be right. As individual components, they're certainly tried and true mechanics and you know, methods of getting gameplay across. But when you put them all together, the end result is Hand of Fate, and somehow it feels completely original, despite the fact that all those pieces and parts, it's like a Frankenstein monster, where you recognize the hand, the arm, the legs, the new ear, right? The left butt cheek, that all looks familiar. But in the end, it's a whole new person. That's how this feels. It's extremely fun. It's really good. If you like any of those kind of genres I just spoke of, and you have a controller, I think that's important on the PC. You can play with a keyboard and mouse, it's fine, but I still think there's a better experience with a controller, having tried both. I'm going to do a video of this at some point so you can see me actually playing it. But in the meantime, do get it. If any of that sounded exciting to you, you're going to love it. It's all handled so well, meshed so well. I love indie games, dude. Seriously. You know what it's like? It's like, would we even get cool independent TV if it wasn't for new streaming services being a challenge to cable and TV? You know, would we even have that opportunity? You got to have your big, overgrown, crappy AAA world in television and movies or whatever in order for there to be kind of a rebellion against that with smaller independent stuff. And games are just so much in that world right now, and I just love it. Oh, it's good. Hand of Fate. 2015's game of the year. And I'm real quick, I just want to tell you how mad I am at Jackbox, the Jackbox collection. I have that on the PlayStation 4 and had some friends over for dinner the other night. We had a big southern style jambalaya kind of deal. My wife did. She's from there. She's from the South, so she thought she'd make that. We had all these fine friends over. Everybody's kids went to somebody else's house, and they all got watched there, so it was just couples, and we were all hanging out and having a good time. And I thought, well, hey, this is a group that likes games of different sorts. Perhaps they might enjoy Fibbage or Drawful or one of the Jackbox games. There were eight of us, so it seemed perfect. I fired that thing up. Great time for your servers to be down, Jackbox. Yeah. You know, we live in this connected, everything's connected all the time world. It reaches up and bites you in the noodle every once in a while because your servers are being maintained on a Saturday night when everybody would want to play your game, by the way. Yeah, do it at 9 a.m. on a Wednesday. I don't care. On a Saturday night at like 8:30? Come on. Finally came up. It took us a while, though, but it was them. It wasn't us. It was them. Because everything else I played and used and did online was fine that day. But it was like, we can't get a hold of our servers. Uh-oh. Well, there's no game then. And when it works, it's fine. You won't hear me complain. But when it doesn't work, dude. Diablo 3 is in the news. Can you believe it? The venerable 2012 game continues to provide new experiences. Still my favorite game of last year and the year and the 2 years before that. Diablo 3 is in the news because of something kind of weird. They're going to start dabbling in microtransactions again, but not in the way you're used to or in the way that utterly failed for them. So no auction house making a return. You're not buying gear. At least not, you know, usable, like, stat-driven gear. And you're not doing it in Europe or the U.S. for a while, anyway. This is going to start in Asia. And, you know, they're going to... It's funny, because this game is, many believe, is one of the finest games on the PC currently. And I agree with them. But previous to that patch and fix and then the new expansion, it had some of the biggest problems of any AAA title on the market. So some would just bristle a little bit, go, oh, no, you guys can't go there. You can't go back to making me pay a dollar for something. That's bad. But the auction house is dead. They're not bringing that back. And they're turning it from what they describe here as awful to awesome by adding in Asia to start with, okay? This is the important bit. They're going to test it in Asia, but it will be a bunch of microtransactions, including things like, well, mostly cosmetics. And banners and things like that. I don't have any problem with this. If they want to bring in stuff where it's like, hey, you want five new transmogs and a new banner, that package is $5. I'd be all into that, especially if they're cool, those transmogs. I'd be all right with that. And I'm totally fine with cosmetic stuff in the game. It works in many other games. There's no reason it wouldn't be a problem here, and it doesn't fiddle with basic core gameplay like the auction house thing did, and that was a huge mistake, and nobody denies that. Forza fans should be excited because 6 is coming and has been confirmed for holiday 2015. So once again, a year-over-year release of something with Forza written on it. Are you a fan? Do you like it? Are you into it? Because it's all part of this big release window that includes... other exclusives from Microsoft. Rise of the Tomb Raider. Remember that? Because they got that deal. A timed release exclusive. Not forever, but for a while there. Fable Legends, which is also coming to PC. That was their big announcement at their developers conference thing. Halo 5 Guardians and Quantum Break. So you can expect all of that plus a new Forza game this fall. That's a pretty strong lineup, assuming everything releases strong, you know, without tons of bugs and problems. So I got to give it to Microsoft this upcoming holiday. That's good exclusives, I think. I mean, I don't care about Fable Legends at all. And I do care about Tomb Raider, but that's a timed thing. I mean, everyone cares about Halo 5, assuming it's not a mess like the Master Chief deal was. And I don't know enough about Quantum Break to even make a comment. So anyway, Forza 6, man. Buckle in. I guess. Mortal Kombat 10 or X, sorry, X, does not require PlayStation Plus or Xbox Gold Live or Xbox Live Gold to play. You can play online without either of those two services. That's kind of crazy. They said this on Twitter. Quote, PS Plus is not needed for any feature of MKX. And then confirmed the Xbox Live Gold is also not required. Seem a little weird. I thought the whole point of Gold was online play. And then Plus in this generation is all about also enabling online play. How come some developers get to skirt around that, I wonder? And do other devs go like, well, wait a minute. We'd like our online play to happen without people having to pay for that extra thing. It's weird, right? Maybe it's because people are not used to playing a mainline fighting game without paying a subscription. I mean, you're talking about $50 to $60 a year unless you get, you know, cheaper deals on Amazon or something. But, you know, whatever. It's not cheap. And now this even includes, you know, I mean, I'm assuming this game will be somewhat of an overhaul with the online mode because the last one was kind of had its problems. People didn't have a certain character. You'd have to wait for a bunch of stuff to load, or you couldn't fight a certain group because they had a character you didn't have or you had one they didn't have. So the anyway, that's just weird to me. But hey, if they're going to let you do it and not have to pay for it, then everyone wins, or at least we win. Star Citizen has grossed nearly $73 million in funding. They have grossed that. Like grossed. What am I trying to say? They've earned that. They've gotten that. People have paid that much money. The crowdfunding campaign that they ran for that space sim, Star Citizen, has now reached that dollar amount. Holy crap. In 2 weeks' time, that's $1 million more than it was 2 weeks ago. And so if it keeps going like that, $100 million is not that crazy. And Chris Roberts has said publicly that's kind of what he wanted. So that's $73.4 million. That's 760,000 backers. That makes it the most successful crowd-funded project of any kind anywhere in history. Video games, man. Video games. That's pretty cool, right? I guess. Boy, that game's got a lot to live up to, though. Ooh, I'm nervous about all that. Kanye West is making a video game. After conquering music and fashion, I suppose, he's up for his next big challenge. He was on some radio station, Power 105's The Breakfast Club. Ugh. Anyway, discussing his next album and collaboration and some other stuff, doing some work with Adidas. He said, quote, right now I'm working on a video game for Only One. That's a company, I guess. And the idea is that it's my mother going through the gates of heaven, and you have to bring her to the highest gates of heaven by holding her to the light, Wes said. We've been working on it for like 6 months, he says. Oof. Didn't say what platforms it would end up on. Like, will this be mobile? Like Kim Kardashian's game, by the way. Do you guys want to hear something gross? Kim Kardashian's mobile iPad, iPhone, Android thing. Her game, whatever it's called. Kim Kardashian Hollywood Mobile or Hollywood, whatever. $200 million in 2014 in in-app purchases. $200 million. She could leave Kanye West. She could get out of that weird freaking pseudo-celebrity weirdness and just live off her app for the rest of her life. This is what I would do. If I made $200 million on my weird app, I would be done. I would check out and say, you know what? Early retirement. Going to take years off with my kids and my wife. We're just going to do what we want to do. I'm going to pay off every bill I ever had. I'm going to buy a nice big house somewhere in some island someplace. And I'm going to visit it all the time. And that's it. It's the last you're going to hear from me. Why would you want to subject yourself to the hot lights of Hollywood after this? Gosh, dang it. $200 million. That's bananas. Speaking of bananas, Evolve has had over 6 million matches played in its first week of existence. Or WEEF. Sure, WEEF. Here's some other fun stats. All right. So the game's doing all right. Underwhelmed most reviewers. I'm still waiting for my review copy. I'm starting to think they're not sending it. They said they were. Anyway. Here's some other stats of interest. Longest match played, 43 minutes. Shortest match, 60 seconds. Good Lord. How'd that happen? Someone disconnected and they all quit. Is that what happened? Average match length, 9 minutes, 46 seconds. Total combined time played, 108 years. 108 years of game time. 133.7 million minutes watched on Twitch. That's a lot of minutes. Most popular Assault Hunter character is Hyde. Most popular trapper is Abe, Lazarus for medic and for support, Cabot. Most popular monster is the Goliath, and monsters won 51.9% of the matches. That seems good. Anyway, they're doing all right at game, I guess. I guess it sold well. And it's, you know, the numbers seem to bear that out. Whether or not it has the long-standedness that you want, I don't know. Or if that DLC nightmare will kill it. As usual, the time will tell. Death threats force a dev out of PAX East. Oh, man. Really? Do we have to... What are we doing? So there's this indie studio. It's called Giant Space Cat. They announced they're no longer going to be coming to PAX East, which is next month in Boston. And it's all because of threats of violence. The studio head, Brianna Wu, who says that she's faced a bunch of death threats before. This isn't her first time to the rodeo. She had appeared on national television to discuss all this online harassment and announced this week that they would not be attending. And she says that looming threat is a risk her and her husband don't want to take. And she says, I'm not going to make the people I work with choose to subject themselves to it either. Yeah, I don't know what to say about stuff like this. It makes me super sad. And there's somebody probably listening to me right now who says, well, she says she was harassed, but she's probably making that up. I don't know, man. I don't know what to say for you either. There's some stuff wrong with internet culture. We got to fix it, regardless of where it comes from. We got to fix it. How do you fix it? You can't. What am I saying? You can't fix it. People are going to be what they're going to be. They're going to be people who lie about being harassed. They're going to be people who are actually harassed. They're going to be people who harass them and others. And they're going to be people who claim they never harassed anyone but did. Like, it's just going to be a bunch of lying human beings, because that's what we are. We're human beings and people tend to do this. So try to do the right thing. Be a nice influence online, and then the rest of it will take care of itself. That's the least you and I can do. You know what I mean? It's that, or we wait for somebody else to do it, and they're not going to do it. The unlikely story behind one of gaming's greatest sports titles, NHL 94, is an article I found on GameSpot in their news section that I thought I would share with everybody, because it's rad as I finish out the news. Not a lot of news this week, as you can tell. Anyway, that game, NHL Hockey 94, considered by most people, myself included, to be one of the best, most iconic, most influential, coolest sports games ever. I loved NHL 94 so much that I bought it twice. Three times, sorry. Genesis, SNES, and I ended up getting it again on the Sega CD because it was the same game, but I had to have that CD sound, man. Those crowds, the music. Like that stuff. It was so good. What a great game. Anyway, it's hilarious. This is so funny. The lead programmer, Mark Lesser, didn't know a thing about hockey. Never seen a hockey game. He's an MIT graduate with a bachelor's degree in electronic engineering, by the way. Didn't know a thing about hockey. They plop him down in a cabin in Maine, and he programs this game, and it turns out to be one of the most important sports games ever. He says, when they approached me, I didn't know what the heck they were talking about. I just smiled a lot, unquote. That's bananas. Anyway, became a huge hit. He's now 66, by the way. He developed follow-ups in 99. Did some motocross title that was in 2000. He's now retired. He lives in a nice little house and never comes out of it now. He has all his NHL money, I guess. Anyway, it's the coolest sports game. And if you don't agree with me, like if you're going to pick some weird Madden offshoot, then I got nothing to say to you. All right, time for some emails and calls. Calls come to us at 801-471-0462, 801-471-0462, or you can email us attachments and emails to boopshow@gmail.com. Use your smartphone's little memo voice feature, man. Email us those. Those are great. Keep them short, 30 seconds to a minute, somewhere in that range. Interesting, you know, stuff that's worth talking about. Like this, the Elvish Ringmaker.
Hey, Scott, this is Randy from Phoenix here. I just listened to your Boop Show here on Thursday, February 19th. And you're talking about Shadow of Mordor, and you're talking about the Elvish Ringmaker. You're trying to pronounce his name and horribly butchering it. His name is actually pronounced Celebrimbor, an Elvish, at least Tolkien's Elvish. Elven names that start with a C, actually the C is sound like a hard K. So his name is Celebrimbor, just in case you're curious. Anyway, good show. Keep it up.
All right. So, yeah, I am not a Lord of the Rings nerd. I know I like what I read as a kid when I read the books. I like the movies. Like, I like games based on it. So I'm not, you know, I am a fan. Let's put it this way. I'm a fan of the Tolkien universe. But when you ask me to remember some guy's exact spelling or why there was an accent over the K and how all Elvish E's are silent or whatever, I can't do it, man. But I appreciate the correction. Everyone needs one once in a while.
Hey, Scott, this is Adam calling in from Belleville, Michigan for the Boop Show. A question for you. Back when the Nintendo Entertainment System was popular, Nintendo had their own hotline for game tips and tricks if you got stuck in the game. Did you ever call that line when you were maybe stuck in like Castlevania or Metroid or Zelda? I remember I used to call and ask, when is NBA Jam coming to Super Nintendo? And eventually they said, quit calling us with that question. So keep doing a great show and boop.
That really was a cool time, right? You could call a number and they would help you. Like there was no internet, there were no guides, there were no facts or walkthroughs or videos on YouTube telling you what to do or playthroughs. None of that existed. So it was an interesting solution to a problem that otherwise wouldn't have a solution, right? I mean, you could wait for monthly magazines and their little strat section in the back, but it didn't always answer your specific question. Also, if you ran into a bug, you know, that no magazine's going to assume the bug and then talk about the bug necessarily, unless it's a big one. So yeah, it was a different time. I only called it once. I never called it for help. I called it once as a prank call with me and my friend Mark, and I called that line, and they picked up and said, Nintendo of America, I'm trying to help you with the thing. Tips line, can I help you? And I went, and then hung up the phone. So, yeah, it was kind of a jerky thing to do. I didn't really need any help, and I made somebody's day bad. So I feel a little bad about it. Adib wrote in from London, UK. He says this, hi Scott, I have a question about the show if you could help me out. My girlfriend isn't really a gamer of any sort, but has agreed to play something with me to see if she likes it. Oh, this is adorable. I have a PS4, so I'm trying to think of something she would enjoy sitting on the couch with that wasn't too twitchy. Any ideas? The old Heavy Rain game would be good, as I can sit on the couch, discuss what to do next. She loves Walking Dead, and are the Walking Dead games actually any good? Well, let me answer this as we go. Yes, and also, if you like Walking Dead, you'll probably love Last of Us, and Last of Us is a great game for her to sit and watch and help you. If that's what she's looking to do, is sit there and kind of go along the ride with you, there's so many great games for doing that. I mean, lately, that's my daughter and my wife are doing that while I play Wind Waker again. And it's great to have him there going, no, you left the rock over there. You need to take the torch and click the thing. You know, like it's good not only to have the extra help, but also they're enjoying it in this not connected way. And that's how my wife would prefer it. She'd rather not play that kind of game. It's just not in her to do it. And maybe that's where you're at with your girlfriend. So I think that's totally fine to play a game like that. Actually, just about any game like that, story-driven narrative game, anything with puzzles, anything with the Assassin's Creed name on it, although Unity, I'd still recommend not getting, I don't know, some people say I'm wrong, but any of that kind of stuff, especially a good, meaty, hearty story. I even think, I mean, I loved the Call of Duty Modern Warfare or Advanced Warfare story. I thought that was awesome. So you could probably get by with something like that. But anyway, I think you should do that. And you'll have fun. Okay? Thank you, Adib. Am I saying it wrong? Adib. There, Adib. It's a cool name, dude. Steve, final email. Smetzer wrote in, says, hey, Scott, can you provide a list of Wii U games you've picked up since getting your Wii U? Have you tried Captain Toad Treasure Tracker yet? From what I understand, the game will give you bonus levels if you have Super Mario 3D World installed on your Wii U. Take care. All right, here's what I didn't know, Steve. When I got Super Mario Bros. 3D World, which came bundled, installed on the drive with my Wii U, I didn't know that there were little levels in that game that were basically the Captain Toad levels, or, you know, levels with Captain Toad that were kind of a little side thing to do in the game. I didn't know that. I thought Captain Toad was just a brand new thing that wasn't based on anything, but apparently that game was blown out, either planned or otherwise, from these little small experiences that were already in 3D World. So once I saw a couple of those, I went, oh, that game. Yeah, I want to get that. So I haven't, though. I haven't gotten it yet. I think I would like to. That might be my next Wii U purchase. I kind of wanted to see what people said about this new Kirby game. I think it's going to use too much of the touchscreen for my taste. I know they got to make games like that, but I really just want a controller and just my TV, really. So I don't know what I'm waiting for now. Zelda, maybe, or I don't know. But the yes, the game's great, and I want to play it. All right, so I have Mario 3D Land, or World, rather. I have Wind Waker, the HD remix thing, or remastered. That thing is awesome. What an incredible game. Does not get old. Incredible game. You know, and after replaying it, I think it might be my favorite Zelda game. I keep bouncing around. I know I jump back and forth. My top three go like this now, I think. And it's very close with all of them. Keep that in mind. But it's Wind Waker, number one. Ocarina of Time, number two. And three, Between Worlds. Is that what it was called? Is that the right name? The 3DS one from last year. Or the year before that. Is it 2013? Anyway, that Zelda game. Those are the my three top three. Bunch of other ones in the middle there. Bunch of other good stuff happened, certainly. But those are my three. Thanks, Steve. Thanks, everybody. Again, boopshow@gmail.com or call us 801-471-0462. Okay, all right, we're done. That's it. I want to get out of here, but before I do, I want to tell you that boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. On Twitter, @boopshow. Follow us, please. Hey, guess what? I can't talk today. Guess what? This Wednesday, the 25th, Nerdtacular 2015 tickets go on sale. They'll be inexpensive and accessible. And all details about the event itself, where we're holding it this year, that's the same as last year. All that stuff at nerdtacular.com. Join me, Tom Merritt, Brian Ibbett, Veronica Belmont, so many more people will be there, including me. It's my event, damn it. We'd love you to go. And if you haven't come before, maybe now's the time to check it out. Nerdtacular.com. It's just our little annual fan event, and it's a total blast, and you should come. Our music provided by the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. Big thanks to Rob over there and his amazing music. Support us on patreon.com/frogpants. Thank you so much for that, everybody. And I will now leave you with some music. I like Mega Man's music more than I like Mega Man. I never played the original Mega Man, but I've always liked the music and the remixes that come from it. I've played others on this show. Today I'm going to play you Mega Man 4 Dynasty. This is another remix found over at ocremix.org. Place I frequent and like a lot. And I'm going to play it for you now. There'll be a new show Thursday. Here's the only deal with Thursday. Here's the thing I don't know. I'm having a major dental thing done. A big, huge, fat crown put on an old rusty tooth. And it's going to jack me up. And I don't know what time of day that's happening. But it's kind of major. And I'm going to be numb to hell and back. So whether or not... It shouldn't affect whether there is a show. It may just affect when the show airs. So maybe later in the day. It could be earlier. I don't know. But I'll try to keep you guys informed on Twitter. So follow the show, @BoopShow. You can also follow me, @ScottJohnson. And we'll keep you informed. All right, that's going to do it. It's Mega Man 4 Dynasty. See you later in the week. We'll be right back.
podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.